Blog Talk Radio.
Understand why when life gets hard, you start to cry. Dry all those tears that come through fear with his supply.
That's just like a medicine, just like a medicine, just like a medicine,
like a medicine. Tomorrow may bring one or two things that you don't like.
And if it does, you can rise above.
To the Spirit Alive Ministries Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. I'm Apostle Shalene Cook, and it blesses my soul to welcome all of you here to another installation of Wounded No More for this Thursday, October the 13th, 2022. And now, my brothers and sisters, get something to write with and to write on, and please retrieve your Bibles as I bring forth your anointed host and facilitator, Pastor Vanessa Carver.
Thank you. Thank you, Apostle Cook. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Wounded No More, this edition. For the rest of the year, we're going hard about forgiveness. We will be also using a companion study guide as well as book I will be referring to and using as my guide and references called Forgiving What You Can't Forget, by Lisa Turkhurst. I'll spell that last name for anyone that wants to purchase this or find it at the library. Her first name is Lysa Turkhurst is her last name, and I'm sorry if I butchered it. But this woman of God has done an amazing job with this topic and this subject. I started the series last week and really went hard, and I'm using between the book and the companion workbook that it goes deep in the sessions. I just wanted to take this topic to the next level. I truly believe that many of us are struggling with this or have struggled with this issue, and I believe it is definitely a barrier to so many things in our life that we need to achieve as servant leaders. So we are going to talk about grace and truth. We're going to talk about the level of honesty that we need to have about the struggles that we have for unforgiveness. I like to hop around and jump around in this. So if you do have the book, just know that I'm between pages 2 and 30 and 29. So if you'd like to follow along and anything, you definitely can if you do have the companion book. So I'm going to ask questions throughout these lessons because I think they're not necessarily to be answered by me or by you. There are answers that may be there between you and God. I will at times give you my answers, and just to open up the level of your understanding about maybe what the question means or how it can really start to penetrate your heart. Like I said before last week, when I began to read this book, I read this book last year, and I was in the middle of therapy when I got the book. My therapist actually told me about this book, and because of the things that we were discussing in our session, I got the book, and I tell you, the book is amazing. But there will be some things in the book, or maybe some things of how they're said that may trigger you. So I do want to put forth that warning. And I'm not doing these sessions to trigger anybody, but I do want you to take care of yourself if you feel like that's all I can take. Because I tell you, when I was reading through this and my own self, I had some triggers that I literally would have to close the book and come back to it maybe a week or two later because I wasn't ready in some of these areas. But I just want to let you know that. But I also want you to know that we're praying. I'm praying with you and for you through this whole thing. And I know that there's people on this broadcast as a part of this network of Spirit Alive that are also praying for you as well. Okay, the first question I'm going to ask about is, how free do you feel to be honest with God about your struggles with forgiveness? Do you feel disappointed? I mean, do you feel completely free to tell God how you feel? Are you afraid that God will be disappointed in you about your struggles with unforgiveness? Trust in God at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is your refuge. And you have to think about what that verse really means. This level of honesty is so key. You can't get better if you don't admit you have a problem. And I think that sometimes when it comes to our relationship with God, we're not always willing to do that. We do sometimes feel ashamed of the fact that we do hold things in our hearts that we should be over. So we think, well, you should be over that by now. Well, you're not. And honesty is, on a scale from 1 to 10, is to say, no, I feel free to completely be honest with God of how I feel. I tell you what, in my case, when I wasn't, God really I would have dreams about certain things I wasn't even thinking about. And the Lord would say, it's time. It's time for you to deal with these things because they are like landmines. Unforgiveness are like landmines. Because if you think of what a landmine is in the natural, there are places where things are hidden you don't see that can be explosive. And so if you have an enemy and you're going into enemy territory, they put landmines in the most unsuspecting places. And I believe that unforgiveness is like that. It will come up. It will trigger things in you that you feel like have nothing to do with your everyday life. They are landmines. God wants us to be honest about these things. But we have to be able to trust him, knowing that in those times where we are disclosing how we really feel, no, I didn't forgive so-and-so for what they did to me in school, or no, I'm still struggling with what they said to me. And when you begin to uncover those things, it's because you trust God. You trust God with things that are valuable. Now, why did I say that? Who would ever stop to think that when it comes to unforgiveness and all the negative things that it engenders, that we would trust God with that, with poison? But I want to say to you, anything that you protect and cover up is something that you value. And so you need to ask the Lord to give you a level of perspective about how important it is to be courageous, to be honest with God about where you are. Anything you value, you cover up. Anything you value, you hide. Now, who would ever stop to think that you value unforgiveness or that disposition, whether it has to do with shame or whether you feel entitled or justified to hold that? Let's begin today to begin to trust God at all times and pour out our heart to him, because he's a safe place. If nobody else is, he definitely is. So I would suggest that if you like to journal or start having just a special journal about forgiveness and unforgiveness or whatever it is, and you pray or whatever, you take that journal and you begin to write and you ask the Lord about some things, and just let that be your special time where you take those things and you begin to build a level of trust with God that he is there for you. He's there for you, but also it helps you be more honest. And when I tell you how important it is to begin to be honest with yourself about the junk that you hold, it frees you. It's almost like you become brutally honest about a lot of things, because that one or two things, or maybe several things that you're holding close to your heart, and he's saying, you need to put that in my hands. Stop valuing that. Stop taking care of that, because it begins to filter and justify why you do what you do, especially when it comes to unforgiveness. So I just wanted to touch that again. Let's start with honesty about all things. Let's just decide, Lord, help me to be honest. Remember how last week we talked about Genesis 4 and 7, 4 verses 1 through 7, and we were talking about Cain and Abel. We were talking about Cain's attitude versus Abel's attitude. And when it comes, Who is ultimately asking us to take a look at what is going on in us internally right now? It's the Holy Spirit. And there was a verse specifically about Cain and his attitude and how God began to talk to him about, you know, why are you so cast down? He said, if you do well, would you not, you know, if you do right, I'll just put it in my words, if you do right, would you not be suffering? Would you not be depressed and cast down? You know, but we know the end of that story. So when we begin to trust God, he begins to soften our hearts toward the idea and toward the, I would say, the lifestyle of forgiveness is really a way that we live our life. We just have to always be willing to forgive. Sometimes it's real easy and sometimes it is not, and we are going to talk about that. As we begin this journey, we always have to remember the attributes of God. And if we have his Holy Spirit, those things lie within us. We can be compassionate. We can be a place of comfort. And when we read 2 Corinthians, praise be to God, 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 5, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. So God's compassion for us, and that he's a place, he's a refuge, and he's a strength, will help us to know, okay, I need to get honest. I know that God's got me in this. I know he's going to take care of my heart. I know a lot of times when you begin to forgive, you really start to feel exposed, and it creates in some people a level of fear and trepidation because they feel stripped. Because keep in mind that sometimes forgiveness creates this false barrier around you, And the moment that you just decide, okay, I'm going to forgive, initially, you know, you feel uncovered because you've covered yourself with this, with these false sense of being that have to do with forgiveness, depending on why you have this issue in the first place. Maybe it has to do with protection. Maybe it has to do with worth. We'll talk about that too as well. So when we begin to say, Lord, thank you for comforting me, Lord, I need you to feel your compassion at this time to help me through this. I know how important this is in my head, but my heart is hurting. And that's what's keeping me from forgiving the way you want me to forgive. You know, some people will say, well, I'm sorry. I said I was sorry. I apologize. They give you, there's levels of repentance, but nobody's really sorry if they're still, remember, trying to value and take care of something that you don't want to totally give to God. You have to totally surrender. Just like when, you know, on the movies or maybe in a show you watch somebody and a cop comes up and he puts his gun out or he begins to put his gun out and the people just immediately put their hands up. They're under arrest. That means I surrender, so don't shoot. We have to surrender before the Lord, and we have to totally put our hands up and take our hands off of things that we really have no control over in the first place, to be honest. But unforgiveness makes you think you got more control than you have, and you really don't. You really, really don't. And that's one thing that I found out was that God was always in control, even when I thought I was, because I was making a terrible mess out of how I thought I was in control. It was terrible. I was doing a horrible job at it. So many times we're deeply hurt by someone, and forgiveness can feel like it's a very hard, difficult thing for us to do. And so we have to do, it's hard to do on top of healing. So for instance, when somebody begins to forgive, there's a part of healing that immediately ensues. It begins to start. That's a good thing, but no one ever talks about what you feel when you do begin to heal. Kind of, I mentioned it earlier. I talked about feeling stripped. So there's a process to healing. And so trying to heal, not only in trying to forgive, they go hand in hand. Nobody talks about how you might feel alone now that you don't have that barrier, how you always feel exposed, how you always feel nobody understands me. Okay, now I really feel misunderstood. These things many times begin to bombard your mind when you decide to let down your guard and surrender to the Lord. We don't talk about these things a lot. And so it's, you know, it's always better to forgive than to have anger and resentment and bitter and all these heavy burdens of retaliation too that get in the way of us really surrendering to God. So this is an excerpt from the book, How to Forgive What You Can't Forget. You can't edit reality to try and force healing. You can't fake yourself into being okay with what happened. But you can decide that the only one who hurt you doesn't get to decide what you do with your memories. Isn't that powerful? Don't give that other person power or that other situation power for you to decide what you do with your memories. Your life can be graceful, a graceful combination of beautiful and painful. You don't have to put either definitive labels on what once was. It can be both and. So she's saying there's pain. So don't try to suffocate or try to suppress pain because that's part of healing. You like even in the natural when you break your leg or something or you have to reset bones that break. That's painful. Physical therapy is painful. I went through it myself. It's very painful. And there were things that I had to do that the therapist would send me home with stuff to do. And in my mind, when I was doing it in the office, I was like, I'm not doing this when I get home. But between between my husband and me pushing my own self, I said, I want my arm to function and my hand to function the way it was. So I have to do this. And I just thank God for just showing me the analogy of pain and healing goes together. Deciding to forgive is not easy. Deciding to heal is not easy either. It's going to hurt. You're going to cry a lot. you're going to not want to heal. It's painful. But this is why God is there. This is why you have the Holy Spirit. And he will, I guarantee you, put people in your life that will be there to say, stay at one of those days where you are feeling the pain of healing. Yeah, I feel alone. I feel like nobody gets me. I feel like I took two steps back because I decided to forgive. But he is there with you, and he has compassion for you. He does have compassion for us in those places where we feel extremely, extremely uncovered and vulnerable. And he is so close to those of a broken heart. I can vouch for that. So she begins to also say how maybe that's part of what's hard about moving on, the letting go. Nobody ever stops to think how letting go can be hard sometimes. But what if it's possible to let go of what we must but didn't, of what we must but still carry with us, beautiful and meaningful and true to us? Maybe this is what is beautiful and meaning and true. Maybe this is less severe version of moving on is what we will ease, what will ease us to the place of forgiveness. And maybe this is what is beautiful and meaningful and true to us. Moving on. It gets easier and easier the more you forgive. It is hard at first. Even the thought of deciding to forgive is difficult. It physically manifests in your soul, where that has to do with your will, your mind, and your emotions, especially when it has to do with childhood trauma or different things that happen when you're really young. And you might be 30 or 40 or 50 or older, and you begin to decide to let that go, and it is like somebody is tearing your skin off your body. You physically have, it hurts. It's painful. But that's the first part, and God can get you through that. I want to encourage everybody how you deserve to be whole. You deserve to be healed, and you deserve a better life. Because forgiveness really opens up so many doors in your mind, in your soul, and your spiritual identity, and who you are in your identity spiritually. And so I just want to encourage everybody that God is there and waiting for you to let him help you do the hard stuff, the hard part, because eventually you become stronger and stronger and stronger. The first time you start going to the gym, let's just use this as an analogy. The first time you decide I'm going to get in shape, the first time you decide to do anything physical, work on a house, do a project, anything, the first couple of days or maybe months or weeks is very, very difficult. But you're determined because you already made it in your mind. We're not going to quit. We're going to finish it. Maybe even the first day of school, the first day of law school, the first day of your master's program, the first day of writing a book or working on your dissertation, wherever you may be in life, those first steps are always difficult. But you know what? The moment that you decided before you begin that journey, I'm not quitting, there is not an option. Say that to yourself tonight. If you are ready to forgive, you don't quit. We're not quitting. And we're going to do whatever it takes to heal, even if we cry for 2 or 3 years or 4 or 5 years. It doesn't matter. I'm healing. I got that way. I got that resolute about my healing and about sick of holding on and carrying stuff behind me like a bag lady. I was sick of it. I was sick of my own self. And when I did, God had been there waiting with his arms stretched open wide and saying, I was waiting for you to get to this place. Because when you get to that place, can't anyone stop you? And you begin to feel enabled. And that's what the next part we're going to talk about is grace and truth. How important it is to be patient in this process. How important it is to remember the attributes of God. How he is kind. He is loving. He is full of truth. He is patient. So where you can't, God can. You always have to remember that. And be honest. Remember, we talked about that earlier. Be honest about where you are. Like right here, this piece right here, Lord, I can't. This is hard. Like literally, you have those types of conversations with him. Like this part right here, I can't. And you just begin to break down. And you begin to talk to him and just like pour out your heart about what in this journey or where in this journey you feel like. Tell him everything. Just like I just got done reading about in Psalms, pouring out your heart. When you begin to do that, you build such a strong relationship with God that there's nothing that you begin to experience, that there's nothing too hard for him. But then you also begin to see that in yourself. Anything I put my mind to do, I can finish. I tell you what, I didn't see the correlation between me not finishing things in my life that I thought were important to me and unforgiveness. I couldn't see the correlation until I started to forgive. And then I realized the moment that I said, okay, Lord, help me to forgive, you know, in these areas. And there became a level of tenacity and endurance that I never experienced before. And I finished a lot of things. Finished. Because it brought tears to my eyes. But I didn't see that there was a correlation between my unforgiveness and my lack of finishing things. Never could finish anything. Never. Never committed to anything, really. Even in my own marriage, messed that up at a certain point. So it's like you just can't finish anything. Like, what good are you? But until I started to heal, I didn't see the relation. I didn't see the connected, the correlation. I didn't see. But when I began to heal, I began to see. Because there becomes a strength that you gain. There becomes an endurance that you gain. You gain so much through healing. So maybe your issue isn't about finishing things. Maybe it's something else. Maybe you finish everything you do. But maybe you deal with low self-esteem. Really, really bad. Maybe you deal with guilt. So whatever the unforgiveness is blocking, the moment that you begin to heal, those things become less and less of an issue. I can almost promise you that. God knows that in our weaknesses, his strength is perfected. There's levels of maturity we can't even get to until we begin to forgive. We want to do all these great things for God, and God wants us to do them. We can't even start to do them because we got junk in the way. And we don't even know that that's the junk in the way that is connected to that. But it is. I promise you it is. So please. And then there's another excerpt I want to read from the book. It says, it's necessary for you not to let pain rewrite your memories, and it's absolutely necessary not to let pain ruin your future. That is so true. The fear of pain, the fear of exposure, the fear of forgiving, feeling like, okay, now somebody else is going to take advantage of me, will ruin your future. You won't even have any type of vision or insight about yourself through the lens of unforgiveness. It will shut down your future. Why wouldn't it? It's shutting down your identity. So it's definitely going to shut down your future. And people will talk to you, and there are people that will be able to see you have a great gift. You can do all these awesome things, but you just, you know, kind of stagnant, it may seem. And there's levels of growth for everybody. Don't get me wrong. Doesn't mean that everybody's stuck in unforgiveness because you don't see growth. There could be other things like lack of focus or, you know, belief system, all kinds of things, trust in God. But when you start to talk about this issue, about arrested development, it does shut down your future. Why, my soul, are you cast down? Why is so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will let him praise. I will yet praise him and my Savior and my God. My Savior and my God. That's Psalms 42 and 5. This is David. He said, why, my soul, are you downcast, and why are you so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God. Our hope has to be in God and everything that entails as it pertains to his nature, our purpose, our identity, his perfect will for us. The power of his word, his finished work, how God sent Christ to finish a thing so we don't have to constantly struggle with things. And forgiveness is one of those things because it has to do with healing. And all the many times that he was beaten for our healing, that's about stuff that happens emotionally and mentally too as well, not just a disease or an affliction. Well, a mental affliction. There's many mental afflictions that are manifested from unforgiveness. You better believe it. So he sent Christ to die for all those things. It's finished. It's done. And our ability to forgive others rises and falls on this. It's his finished work, period. So forgiveness isn't an act of any determination. Forgiveness is only made possible by our cooperation. There's areas in our soul that have to do with us saying yes to this. Our will, our mind, and our emotions. Have you ever been tried to muster up the strength to forgive others in your own strength? How does this make you feel to know he is inviting you to join him in his work of forgiveness? You're not alone unless you want to be, unless you want all the credit. And that's usually not going to happen without you wearing yourself down. You need the help of the Holy Spirit. You need to release control that you don't have in the first place so he can help you do this. And that's where grace and truth comes from. I also want to mention on page 25, if anyone is following, but she lists about forgiveness is not a message that, and she bullet points five different areas, and I'm going to read them out loud. I'm going to read them slowly. Forgiveness is not a message that diminishes what you've been through or makes light of the anguish you've cried a million tears over. It doesn't make that small. It doesn't get rid of that. All the tears, all the you know, turmoil and emotional turmoil that you've experienced, it doesn't diminish what you've been through. Forgiveness is not a message that justifies abuse or abandonment or affairs that are all wrong, no matter how it's flipped or framed by others. It doesn't justify abuse. It doesn't justify wrongs that have been done to you or injustices. It doesn't do that. That's not the message of forgiveness. Forgiveness is not a message that refuses to acknowledge how powerful feelings are and how powerless you can feel when you get flooded by the pain and triggered by memories, ignored by those who are supposed to love you, or brushed aside by those who should have cared for you. That's not the message of forgiveness. It's not about not acknowledging all those powerful feelings that you felt when you were going through these things, and even the things that trigger you to this day, and the memories of them, and how absolutely emotionally debilitating in some people's situation it can be. It does not. That is not the message of forgiveness. Forgiveness is not a message that demands you excuse the cruelest and the most horrific crimes committed against you or those you loved. It doesn't mean that you make excuses for sin or for cruelty or for evil or for wickedness. Forgiveness is the last one. Forgiveness is not a message that gives a nod in the direction of demanding all relationships work out with all people. This is a good one. Sometimes that's neither possible nor safe. So the purpose of the list above is to ensure you this message is one that is overflowing with grace. But as we learned in chapter one, grace isn't the only thing we are going to need in order to heal. So the reason, do you understand now why I love this book and this ministry, this level of ministry that this woman of God, and this is her own personal pain. This is things she's gone through. That's a whole nother book. But this book was birthed from a place where she went through this stuff in her own life, not just, you know, in several different ways. And she shares, she's very transparent in one of her books. I've never read it, but it was the one before this one. And she was a Christian at the time when she was going through all this stuff too, you guys, just to let you know, just because you have the Holy Spirit, just because you're a servant leader, just because you're saved and been saved forever doesn't mean you will not continue to go through new experiences where you get, where there is offense and different things that happen. This is life. While life is lifing, we are going to go through. We're still earthen vessels. So when we talk about grace and truth, John 1, verses 14 and 17
discuss that. It talks about, let's go to John 1:14-17. Okay. You have to excuse me. I'm just pulling this up real quick. And I'm going to be reading from the ESV tonight. With most of the verses that I'm coming up with, they will be the ESV tonight. Everybody knows that I like either the ESV or the Amplified, but tonight I'll just keep it simple and read from the ESV, the English Standard Version. And you can read from whatever version you prefer, whatever God is talking to, however you want to study this. But in verse 1, verse 14, actually, excuse me, I have to go back. This is reloading. I'm sorry, my computer is slow. But it's talking about, in this scripture, he's talking about grace and truth and how important that is. Let me go all the way down here. So 14 says, and the word became flesh. It dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as the Son of, as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth is what we're talking about. What would be the danger? This is a question that's posed. What could be the danger of us approaching the message of forgiveness with all grace and truth? What could be the danger? Well, I answered it and said, enabling power. I said, you can't do it without it. You have to forgive. And his enabling power with his grace, it helps us to, enables us to forgive, gives us strength to forgive, and it doesn't enable us to be bitter or to be justified or to be entitled about holding on forgiveness. It enables us to be power. And it says, he has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. What are the dangers of all truth and no grace? Absolute truth of God's word is important. When we don't have grace, when we don't utilize the grace of God, I think we will begin to create areas of pride in our lives because we're trying to do it all by ourselves. So we have to be able, we need to be willing to receive the grace of God that will enable us to forgive. And there's a way he wants it done. So we definitely need we need God's word, we need God's truth, but we need also to let God help us. That's important because that's about relationship truth. So one of the dangers of all truth and no grace is we become very dogmatic and legalistic with certain things, hard-lined. So we have to let grace, God's enabling power, be there as well as truth. If we just have truth, I mean, if we just have grace and no truth, we'll make up things. We'll lean to our understanding. We'll begin to take our cues and our context from culture and from the world. So there's a lot of self-help books out there about forgiveness, and some of them are good, but I'm telling you what, you gotta weigh it. And if your context is not the word, it's not that those things won't work. Sometimes I feel like they won't hold water. They don't last. Truth, his truth is everlasting. And it's absolute. And the wisdom of God is like that too. So that's my opinion. But it says, this is another excerpt from the book that I loved. And it reminds me kind of the song that was played, talks about laughter is medicine. But I believe forgiveness is medicine as well. So it's interesting that Apostle Cook picked that. No, that's just her being led by the Holy Spirit to pick that because it goes right into alignment with what I read. Although we're not talking about laughter, we're talking about medicine, period. And this medicine we're talking about is forgiveness. She said, if I only offered you grace, I would be shortchanging you on what it really takes to heal. While the truth is sometimes hard to hear, God gives it to us because he knows what our hearts and souls really need. It is his truth that sets us free. And freedom and healing won't be possible without the truth of God's word. Looking up each of the passages, which have to do with Psalms 19, 7 through 11. I'm going to give these to you, and I'm going to go through them very quickly. 2 Timothy 3:16-17, and you can read these on your own as well. And then Hebrews 4:12, and all these scriptures are talking about the word of God, how it revives the soul, it enlightens the eyes. 2 Timothy talks about it's profitable for teaching, reproof, instructions, and training in righteousness. And this is my favorite. Hebrews 4:12 talks about how the word is living and sharp, active and sharper than any two-edged sword. So I'm paraphrasing that. So remind yourself, go through the word, and just remember to take certain scriptures that remind you of the power of the word, you know, and how this is all a part of your healing. This is all a part of your worldview, your context, your filter, your perspective, and your reference. It should be the word. Figuring out forgiveness. Even in John 8:31-32 says, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold my teaching, you are really my disciples. This is not just about you. Forgiveness is about you being a follower of Christ and being an example. Then it says, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. As we begin to be trained in righteousness and get instruction, get reproof and instruction to sit in righteousness about the word, we have to take that word and filter. This is one of my favorite words too. Filter. That has to filter everything we do as it pertains to this topic. And it really does help bolster and support you in that journey. Think on the one situation where you felt as though forgiveness might be asking too much from you. What does it seem like you're giving up to forgive this person or people? What could you possibly gain from forgiving this person or people? Now, what I put down is, first of all, when I feel like forgiveness is challenging me, I'm already in this self-protective mode. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I got to protect myself. That's why I'm being challenged. And the Holy Spirit is saying, you can't protect yourself in the first place, you know? And that's mm-hmm. when it's challenging. It feels like it's taking away something. It's taking away work. It's taking away my peace. And that's a deception. But at the same time, as you remember earlier in the lesson, I said, begin to be honest with the Lord about concepts that you feel, about these things that you've set up in your heart. So, of course, it's not protecting me, but I sure do feel protected if I, you know, feel like I can protect myself, if it has something to do with my worth and peace. So guess what? I'm not going to give that up. But this is where it's challenging you. And giving up our right to be resentful or to seek revenge when our hearts have been deeply wounded can feel hard. Let's see what the scripture has to say about these things. So in 1 Peter 3:9, it talks about don't repay evil with evil or reviling with reviling. On the contrary, repay blessings with blessings, because to this you were called so that you may inherit a blessing. So retaliation is a part of us healing, believe it or not, facing the fact that we can't really retaliate if we call ourselves his children, if we are his true mm-hmm. sons. We can't do that, but we need to be honest about the fact that if that's part of the issue, deal with it. Lay it all on the table so God can begin to do with it. And he's going to bring you back to his word. You know, do you trust God to handle things rightly, even if you never get to see how? We will dive further into trusting the justice of God later. I feel like I'm going to end this very soon because I want to open it up for questions and for prayer. This is so good because you can't only scrape the surface. And the more people that are involved and that can talk with this type of discussion, the better. Because every time I prepare for this, every time I present it, I always cry. It feels like there's layers and layers that and reinforcement and review that God has kind of let me just be so grateful for all that he has done and is doing in my heart. And just knowing how painful it is, how people cry alone a lot. for all kinds of things. And yet he's there. So when we begin to learn about justice and injustices, we will talk about that, because that has a lot to do with us laying down this need to retaliate. You can't retaliate anyway. It's crazy when you start to think you have no power. You don't have the power you think you have. He has all the power. He's the God of justice. Even Jesus went through this where he didn't open up his mouth because he trusted in the one who sent him to be able to enforce true justice. And he knew what his assignment was. So remembering how much forgiveness flowed to us. Remember how we talked about the finished work. Remember how much flowed to us can help us as we begin this process, letting it flow through us because it was given to us. Spend some time looking up these passages of scripture. Ask the Lord to use these verses and some more that you may think of to begin softening your heart toward the idea of forgiving as you've been forgiven. And so she mentions 1 John 1 and 9, Colossians 2, 13 through 15, Psalms 103, 8 through 14, and Isaiah 43 and 25. We're talking about God's faithful, how he's a just God. We need to forgive because of Christ and his finished work. That's in Colossians. And then in Psalms, it's 103, talks about the steadfast love of God. And we also talk about in Isaiah, which is a messianic book, talking about the birth and Christ. It plots out our transgressions for his name's sake, blots out our transgressions. This is what Jesus did for us. So I'm going to end with a prayer of thanksgiving. I wrote this earlier about a prayer of thanking for the Lord's mercy and his forgiveness. And so I'm going to end with that, and then I'm going to open this up. Father, first of all, I just thank you for this opportunity on Spirit Alive. I thank you for those who are touched by your words that were spoken. I thank you through me and through this word and will continue to be spoken. I thank you, Lord, today for this prayer right now. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your truth. Father, thank you for your enabling power to forgive. Your truth is alive and active in all things, Lord. And I believe it will activate healing in every area of our lives. I also believe that our souls, if we let it, will also begin to be softened. And we will, even when we feel those triggers and or we feel weak or want to give up or want to retaliate, we know that your steadfast love will give us strength and peace and help us to persevere. As Christ did, is a perfect example. Despite the abuse, despite the levels of injustice that we may see or that we think, Father God, we know with you all things are possible. So help us, Lord. Help the people, Lord, that are listening to know that with you all things are possible and to let go and surrender to you so that they can heal and help others heal. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. What a wonderful, anointed teaching, Pastor Vanessa. Before we open it up to take comments or questions, I would just like to say to anyone that is within the sound of our voice, whether you are listening live or in rebroadcast, before you can forgive others, you must first receive forgiveness for yourself. And if you have not asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior and to forgive you of your sin, then this is the place that you need to begin. Forgiveness is done not for the sake of others, but for ourselves. It doesn't make you strong to hold a grudge. It doesn't make you clever to come up with a retaliation. But forgiveness sets you free.
Amen.
Where unforgiveness keeps you in bondage. Yeah. So if you don't know Jesus in the pardon of your sin. You must first receive forgiveness for yourself and go to the Lord and say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of my sin. For I believe that you are the Son of the living God and that you came, you died, and you rose just for me. Please come into my life and save me. Cleanse me. Forgive me so that I might learn how to forgive others. Help me to grow strong in your word, O God, and understand your word so that I might, hallelujah, be able to show that grace that Pastor Vanessa talked about, that I might be able to rise above my own hurt feelings and extend that grace and that unconditional love towards others, because we know that Christ himself has empowered me to do so. So I pray this and all other things in your Son, Jesus' holy and righteous name. Amen and amen. And if you prayed that simple prayer, we all would like to welcome you to the family of God. We pray that you are getting, we want to welcome you, welcome you, welcome you. We pray that you will first and foremost join with a Christ-centered, loving body of believers that will help walk with you and help you to learn the word of God and live the word of God. Hallelujah. We pray that you study to show yourselves approved so that you will let the Lord know that you want to know his word for yourself. Pastor Vanessa, I really love this teaching because there's so much can be said on forgiveness. Hallelujah. You know, when you forgive others, you're telling God, you know what, God? I'm no longer going to give this situation or this thing power over my life. I'm going to give it over to you because I know that you can do with it what I can't. And right. that gives you freedom, so much freedom. So, you know, it's not, like you said, Pastor Vanessa, it's not always easy, but sometimes we just have to say, God can do with them what I can't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now what I have to deal with is what's going on, like you said, what's going on in me, you know,
yeah.
What issues are stopping me from forgiving? What makes me want to retaliate? What is hurting me that causes me to feel this way? And like you said, we have to be honest. We can't be saying hallelujah on Sunday, and then we're holding grudges and we're thinking about how we're going to make our mm-hmm. displeasure in someone known on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Or how we're, you know, or we're going to walk around and give people the silent treatment.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because we want them to know they hurt us and we are not forgiving them.
Right.
But remember,
manipulate.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that's our justification. I would never do that to them. Well, maybe you wouldn't, but that still doesn't give you the right, the excuse, the justification to be unforgiving, because Jesus said, if we want to be forgiven, we must forgive others as he's forgiven us.
Yes, exactly.
And
that's how it works.
And that doesn't call in the question. And he told us to do that without questioning whether or not they're worthy of our forgiveness.
That's right.
They deserve our forgiveness. Mm-hmm. We're just called to forgive. So I praise God. I loved it when you said, hey, throw your hands up. Huh. Throw your hands up and take your hands off and leave them off.
Yeah.
Because some people say they throw their hands up and take their hands off, and then they'll sit there and ponder on it and think about it. And before you
yep.
know it, they will pick that thing right back up.
Right back up, exactly.
So I just yep. want to thank you for that. And I know Mother Mitchell is here, and she might have a quick word before we close out. Hallelujah.
Yes, praise God. Wonderful teaching, Pastor Vanessa. I love you. You are always so right on point. I tell you, you and Apostle Zeta are two of a kind. Y'all just get in there and just teach such wonderful stuff that we need to be thinking about. And if we haven't thought about it, we need to. But the important thing that I heard about that you said also was take your hands off of it. I was told to do that about several situations in my life. And, you know, it was hard because I kept wanting to fix it. I couldn't fix it. So I had to take my hands off of it and let God fix it for me because I couldn't do anything to fix it. So I thank God that he teaches. We have people that are still teaching that precept because if you really have something hard that has happened to you in your life and you are needing to forgive someone and not do any of those things on your 5 points, it doesn't mean any of that. It just means you need to take your hands off of it and let a higher power put his hands on it. Because you
can't
do nothing about it in the first place.
Amen. Amen. Minister Adam, the topic is on forgiveness. Forgiveness, you're in the house. You've got about 2 minutes if you'd like to have a word on forgiveness.
Oh, okay. Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
I thank God for catching the tail end of it. And then I was busy today, but I thank God for forgiveness. And as I was listening to everybody, the scripture came to my mind, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. And, you know, the rulers of darkness and all of that in high places. And the one thing is that when we wrestle, when we don't forgive, we're wrestling against flesh and blood. And the war that we are in, we're in a spiritual war, and it's not against our brother and our sister. And the Bible does say that we should forgive others. And when we don't forgive others, we're sinning. So, because the Bible says all disobedience is sin. So, I thank God for being able to forgive and people being able to forgive me. Because sometimes we hurt people and don't even know we've hurt them. Sometimes we hurt people and we know we've hurt them. And we need to go back and ask for forgiveness sometimes.
Amen.
Even though some people have hurt us, we need to go back and ask. Sometimes I was taught at a very young age, and I'm going to make this quick, but I was taught at a very young age that sometimes you don't do things to people, but you don't know that you've done something to them. And they got this all against you. And sometimes you have to take the high road and ask for forgiveness, even though you know you haven't done anything wrong.
That's right.
So just to keep the peace and just to keep a level head about the situation. So I thank God for forgiveness. And I thank God for forgiving others. And
amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. You have indeed been listening to Wounded No More with Pastor Vanessa Carver. Yes. We want to thank everyone for listening. We pray that you heard something on tonight that truly blessed your soul. We also pray that you continue to have a great weekend, that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And please, please, please think about first and foremost, receiving forgiveness for yourself so that you might forgive others. Remember, we love you, God loves you, and from our household to yours, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night and God bless you from all of us at Wounded No More and the Spirit Alive Network. Thank you, everyone. Good night.
Love you, Pastor Vanessa.
Good night, everyone. Good night. God bless.
Good night, everybody.
God bless.